I'll just start. If you haven't got a seat, you can make yourself at home. I tried to make this an informal talk because it's not too technical, and it's just kind of like maybe just a fun break from all the deep technical stuff you've been going on in this last 3 days. It's just about my journey from South Africa to moving to Portugal and how I kind of mapped my new environment using QGIS. So I see lots of my friends in the room, but maybe some of you don't know me. I need to find this. So this is me, 33% conservationist, 33% QGIS nerd, and now news, 33% farmer. The farmer part is new because I moved onto a small piece of land, 3 hectares in Portugal, and I want to just tell you a story in this presentation. There may or may not be cats in the story, and it has a baddie in the story. This is, I won't say who it is on mic, but it's a baddie. And it has a country divorce, so I divorced my old country, South Africa. I'm still friends with it, but we're not living together anymore. I had to say goodbye to my old life, like riding horses in the mountains in South Africa and lots of other nice things there. There was a mad car chase, and I landed up in a new country. Portugal was just the best sign on the road ahead, so I turned right, and when we found a beautiful kingdom far away from where it was before, and a new place to call home. So a little house in the mountains with the trees and forest. It's like a fairy tale. Now it's freezing for my next slide. It's probably going to go. And it had a magical garden. And this is me doing my permaculture farmer things here, growing lettuce and onions. And, this is what we call a stone spiral. The idea is you water the plants at the top of the spiral, and then the water runs down in a pretty pattern and waters all the plants on the way down, in theory. We have some saucy bits, so we can make sauce from our all the vegetables growing in the garden. I think I lost one important slide, which was the mad, crazy animals chasing, so I'm going to go back quickly because it's a very important slide. I think it's the one that actually makes PowerPoint free, so I'll just wait here and... It's supposed to be playing some video here. This was pictures of puppies and things, so you're really missing out if you don't get the slide, but... I don't know why it doesn't play. What can I say? I'll go to the next slide. And then we have a happy ending with happy chickens until we eat them, but until then they're happy chickens. And the main character is walking off into the sunset. It's a really happy story. So that's kind of the story of what's happened with me, and then I'm going to tell you a bit about the data behind the story and how we actually how I mapped my story. So normally a story I tell you why and then how and then what, but I'm going to tell you what and then why and then how, because I probably run out of time if I get too excited about some ER diagram or something, and then at least you can see the important things in the start of the story. So let me tell you what I made, first of all. If anybody follows me on Twitter, you've probably been heavily spammed with what I made. I actually need to take out my bag because I'm supposed to pass around props and ask you to look at it enthusiastically while I do my talk. Yes, please, thank you. So you can pass around and look. So what I made was, I made a report in QGIS. There's a... It's like I'm seeing double. It's like, there is a famous QGIS developer holding it and looking very excited to be holding it. It's It's a map of all the land that I discovered and printed in one single report from QGIS. I press one button, it's the print button, and in QGIS, and it prints everything out together. Here's another famous Phosphogy organizer admiring this beautiful map foldout on the report. And in the report, it's obviously got a picture of the fairy tale house, and I managed to basically put some like front matter together, trying to make almost like a book, but it's a book atlas. And you can have different sections in your report in QGIS. Can I ask who's used QGIS reports before? Not the layouts, they're not the old one, the new one? Yeah, oh, only a few of you. All missing out, so that's why you're here today, to find out what you're missing out on. Reports is like the next generation of printing for QGIS, and you can really do quite sophisticated things. So what I did was, in the report, I made like an atlas for each building on my land, and I made these little sketches. Some people think I'm really artistic. I'm actually just really good at tracing pictures on my tablet with a pen, but I dedicated quite a bit of time to sitting there doodling away, drawing these pictures. So I drew a picture for each building, and then I also made a section to map all the plants, and I hand drew some icons. I haven't been there long enough to have icons through all the year, but the idea is that for every plant, you have like what happens with that plant. Is it fruiting? Is it flowering? Is it dying or falling over or growing, needing watering, what have you? And then, as you can see, each page for that plant type, you can see what am I supposed to be doing? Those who know me well know I'm quite forgetful, so this is kind of just a way to remember to water the plants in May or what have you. And then I also made different infrastructure maps, all of them the same report. So, and I created some custom north arrows and banners and things to decorate my maps with. And then I did some, like a map of the camps and a map of the electrical infrastructure. And then here in this report, you can see I've got four different subsections in the report where I've pulled out tables that relate to this to each camp. And you can pull out like a plant list or a list of the points of interest or the water features or what have you. So really just trying to show all the power that you can do with reporting, pulling out different pieces of data and putting it together in a single page. And of course, a nice picture of the camp. And then there's some 3D nerds in the room. There's one here again. there's another one there. Wave to the room, 3D nerd. They helped me to do some cool stuff, some visualizations. I mapped all the trees on the land. I'm trying to map my land to the nth degree, so eventually I want to have every rock and pole and everything mapped, and then I can model it in a beautiful model, my land. And so in the report you can print a 3D scene from your project. And then I made a big foldout one, and I'm trying to show here some map decorations you can put around the side. This I hand sketched, not even copied from a photograph, this one I should add. And then a back page. So that's what I made, and then I will show you now a little bit about why I made it. And there's really only two slides for why I made it. This is the first slide. This is what I got when I bought my land. It's, I guess, from like 1853 or something. I don't know when it's from. It was a hand-drawn piece of paper, and the man in the finance office kindly used a symbology style to mark the outer boundaries of the land. I think it's the felt tip renderer marker or something. I'm not sure which one he used, but and of course you can see it doesn't have quite the same level of detail a GIS nerd like myself might expect on a map of his new property. So I set about to fix this glaring omission in the state of data for my farm by mapping it myself. And the other reason I did it was I normally build things for clients, and they tell me what to do, and I have to, you know, do stuff that maybe is interesting for me and maybe not. But here I could make something with all the bells and whistles that I really like and try to make like a fully worked out QGIS project and really explore what you can do in QGIS. So let me tell you how I made it a little bit. This is the process I follow, and I normally teach, when I do training, I tell people to follow some kind of process like this. Like, think of your topic. And we did like a course on mapping electrical infrastructure in Africa. That was their topic, was where's all the electric lines or what have you. My topic was where's my chickens, where's my rock, where's my tree, whatever. So you think of your topic, and then you come up with a data model. And that's if anybody's used database design tools, so like you make an entity relationship diagram. That's a good place to start, rather than just making a shapefile and just start drawing dots on the map or something like that, because then you kind of have a plan of how everything should fit together. I made a data model, and I actually modified it many times in the process, but at least I had a kind of vision of what I was trying to build. And then I built some cartography rules and tried to think about how this map should look to make it, you know, as exciting and beautiful as it could be, or as functional and useful. And then I made forms. The forms are important because I'm doing field mapping and capturing data from raw state. If you've got existing data you're trying to use in your GIS, maybe you don't need the forms, maybe it's something, it's not necessary. But for my case, I was going to have a lot of forms because I was capturing all these details about all the things on my farm. And then you've got to go out in the field and collect. And that was the fun part. Of course, I was looking really for an excuse to go and walk around the fields with my tablet and look at trees and take pictures of them and just enjoy being outside. So that's an important part in the process. And then you've got to come up with a report. So that's the report, the process I followed. And these are just some examples of the data model. You don't have to study this. There's no test afterwards about whether you can remember everything on here. But just to give you an example of, like, for plants, I created a plant table and a plant activities table, like what each plant does in each month of the year. And I had a table for where the actual plant vegetation points are. And then I created an infrastructure and buildings model. And I had two kinds of infrastructure, one point infrastructure like taps or drinking points for animals or what have you. And then I had structures like buildings and so on. And I did a little bit funny thing there. I created an extra model for the roofs. That's because, again, the same nerd on my left here told me you can't make your roof as part of your same building structure. You need another thing in 3D because I want my roof to be above the building at its own pitch angle and so on. So I created a separate model just to draw roofs in. And then for the water related things, I had like line and point models, lines for rivers and water lines and points for taps and things and so on. And I also had polygons for, like, I've got a few little dams and ponds and things around the farm. So this is the starting point in your situation. You're doing something else. You go through a similar process. Maybe you'll have 100 tables, although I advise to try to keep your model simple because you need to understand what the hell you did, you know, in a year's time and what how the stuff fits together. But sometimes it will get complicated. The next thing I did was I started collecting resources to do the cartography and the mapping and, the map generation and so on. So I kind of started sketching on my tablet. And if you want to, you can come up afterwards and I'll show you my project running the tablet and so on. But I started sketching things and making borders and leaf pictures and doodling away, like back when I was in primary school, just drawing little pictures of planties and things. It was great fun. And I also decided to make my own north arrows and things, and just to try to build something that's not just the generic pictures you find in QGIS. And then, as I mentioned, I sketched all the buildings, and I also found online some sources of tiled rasters, which are nice if you're using the raster, the raster fill style, which basically you can fill a polygon with a continuously repeating raster and make your grassy fields look grassy or what have you. And then the super nice guy that I mentioned down there, say hi again, Raymond. He was at the Hackfest that we had a few days, Professional Developer Conference for QGIS, also known as the Hackfest. And I said to him, man, I need some trees. And he said, well, you come to the right place. I'm a tree guy. I can build trees in 3D for you. So it was a match made in heaven. And we actually, I had trees before. And if you're working in 3D in QGIS, one of the sort of limitations with 3D models is that they all get painted the same color. So I didn't like my tree stems and my tree leaves being the same color. I took offense to that, and Martin saw my offense and had a great suggestion to separate away the leaves and the stem. So back to the other nerd, and he made me a model for the tree, for the stem, and a model for the leaves. And then I put the two in the map next to each other and could give them different colors. Yay, I was very happy. And then he came and admired my nice report later. And then I also made a bunch of crap, and with stuff I threw away. I was really bad artistic choices, or pictures of sheep which aren't actually my sheep, which weren't relevant to my report and things and that I'd collected, or just aggressive chickens who seemed to offend everybody that looked at their pictures. So I really had a lot of junky stuff there that I also just made but never used. And then the next thing I did was I developed forms. Who's used the drag and drop form designer in QGIS? If you haven't, you're really missing out, because it makes your forms look much nicer. You can put them in tabs and groups and organize things better than you can with just the default, what's it called, auto-generate form option. So I used that throughout. I also hid things like IDs, because us normal people in the world don't want to see IDs. They're like something for computer scientists, but when you're walking the tree, a tree doesn't have an ID number, it has a name and it has some branches and things. So I hid away stuff that shouldn't be seen in the field, and also put some things in that I wanted to have on every record but didn't want the users to have to think about, like the name of the user and the date that they captured the record. These kind of things you can generate all in QGIS automatically. So I kind of built all that stuff, and then in QGIS you can now click on a thing, like I've clicked on a tree here, and see a pretty picture of the tree, and you can also capture all the details with nice lookups. I made heavy use of these things called value relations. Okay, I'm very fast running out of time. I'll speed through the last few things. So value relations let you like link two tables together. Anybody heard of them? Raise your hand, yes? Yeah, those who don't use them, you're really missing out. You should try them out. And then I built my cartography. It's kind of boring cartography. You might be expecting to see splashy pictures of, I don't know, exploding almond shells or something, but it's very functional. And the difference in my cartography between the black and the gray is things that I've actually surveyed and taken photos of. I've got a lot more slides, and they're not going to play because I've got videos anyway. But I'll skip past the video bits. And I think it's just stuck. And I did some cool stuff, like drawing some cartography by hand, because you can't actually make QGIS render things like this. So what I did was I drew this outline and then georeferenced it and put it back into my map so that I could have some cool styles, which just thinking out the box, you know, playing with the tools that you have. And I had some rules, like I said. So anything gray is no photo. Anything black is got a photo. So when you're in the field, you can see, okay, I haven't done this tree. You just click it and then you can catch a photo of it. I made heavy use of styles and themes, and I've got one piece of sage advice for you, is avoid using styles and themes at all cost. And my corollary to that is you should use styles and themes a lot, because they're really great. But the reason I'm giving you two conflicting pieces of advice is because they add some complication to your life. Keeping track of what style belongs to what theme and where to change it and how to update it can make your head go a bit loopy. But at the same time, it allows you to unlock a lot of the power of QGIS. I also use styles to do some like poor man's topology checking. So I've got 1 minute. Okay, thanks. So for example, here you can see there's a sliver in my data set. It should be all nice topologically correct polygons. And I used all sorts of tools like topology checker and things to find them. But actually, it's much easier just to make some cartography with some big thick lines that shows the union of your polygons. And then you see that straight away when you digitize it. I just created a simple view in Postgres, two lines, three lines, makes a union of all your layers, and anything that shouldn't be there, shows up immediately. It's quite a nice way to do that. Okay, I'll have to stop here, so I'm going to just close with my 3D fly-through, which probably won't play. Oh, maybe it will play. Okay, there we go. So we should have Star Wars music. Dun, 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 dun. This is the sum of the work that we did with Raymond's trees and
all sorts of...
Sorry? I do have trees in my building, and that's not a mistake. That is an interesting quirk of my property, but but very well observed. Yeah. Okay. I had a lot of other slides, which while we're answering questions, I'm going to randomly press the clicker button, and then you can see them. That kind of way, I can sneak five more slides into my time.
Tim, I can offer you a trade. I have my next presentation. I can give you 10 or 15 minutes.
Ah, is yours very short?
But with one condition, keep the whole people here.
Okay. I'll make the deal. I don't know how that's going to work for the video streaming, but maybe your presentation will look a bit funny.
I don't mind. My wife will be confused.
About 4 minutes for Q&A and for advance of three.
Okay, okay. So, any questions, anybody, while I click? I'm trying to click. But, yes.
How come your property looks like Africa? At least half of it.
This is an interesting and totally accidental side effect of moving there, and the other half kind of looks a bit like Portugal if you use your imagination a lot. So it was just some kind of mystic destiny that I had. I had some slides showing input in Portugal, which input and Q-field. That was a weird mistake to make, but which I'm going to flip through while anybody else may ask a question. I know Jürgen Fischer is dying to ask a question as well. just joking.
I was going to ask, how did you do the mobile data entry?
So, okay, that's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. Stealth slide injection. So yes, I did it using Q-field and input, and they're all my friends, so I won't express any preference. In fact, I don't have any strong preference. They're both awesome tools. I did do some quite exhaustive testing, probably irritated both groups of them quite a lot while I was moaning about bugs or trying to do things that they weren't really intended to do. But I can show that they're really powerful. There are a few small differences between them. If you take my slide deck off the wherever they go and on the conference program, you can sort of have a look through these. And these differences are changing all the time. Often I share these things and then they say, oh no, we've done that already. So do check in with them to see if the difference actually still exists. Oh, you do it? Yes. Okay. I think you do it, but they don't. Maybe I got my slide the wrong way around. And so I used input and Q field. And through themes or through direct layer? Okay. Okay. We have to update the slide. I'll make some quick edits. Yes. Somebody wanted to ask something. And so I can tell you that for the field data collection, one very important thing is your choice of tablet. So I started off buying the cheapest, crappiest tablet that I could find, and the GPS was so bad that the signal was jumping all over the show, and it was a really bad experience. So invest a little bit more money in a tablet, and in a good tablet, and you'll have much better experience. Anybody else got some questions?
Thank you. You have talked about the GPS and all the data acquisition. How did you come up with the 3D models of your buildings? Did you use some extra instrument or distance meter or what was that? Thank you.
Thank you. That's a good question. For the 3D models, that's a bit obscene when I look at it like that, but it's not meant to be an elephant having a pee on an Android. But for the 3D models, all I did was I used 2.5D geometries for every polygon in PostGIS and for every feature, actually. I tried to uniformly give them all 2.5D geometries, and And then I kind of just estimated what the building height was. And my form in the field, I estimate the building height, and I translated that onto the 2D geometries. And for the roofs, I did it purely manually. I looked at the roof, and I thought, okay, that's 4 meters at the pitch highest part, and you know, 3 at the lowest part. And then I put it in the 3D environment, and I saw sometimes it's cutting through the edge of the wall or something. That didn't look so good. Then I just jimmied it until it came out right. But ideally I'd have some fancy equipment, but I was doing this like in the cheap and nasty way. Yeah.
Last question.
Yeah. Do you know about any plans to improve report mode? Because it's powerful, but it doesn't have a preview mode, and it's quite basic in the user interface. So are there any plans?
Yes, and this is where I will promote the work of Niall Dawson, who wrote the reporting module. He's from North Road. You Google him, you'll find him. We've got a long list of improvements, including these kind of things, and please help him fund his work, because the reporting stuff is awesome, but it needs a little bit more love. You can do all this, what I've shown you, but you do need to be prepared to, you know, work with some of the limitations that the current environment has. So, yeah, please go fund his work. Okay, thanks. I'll stop there. Thank you.